Hi, welcome to James Miller Lifeology, where you learn to simplify and transform your life. My name is James Miller. I'm a licensed psychotherapist and a composer. Thank you so much for joining me today in this podcast. Let's get started. We have a great show for you today. We will be joined by Monica Sangrico, a famous fashion designer, and we're also going to discuss ways in which we struggle with the roles we play in life and how to maximize our time efficiently. Now it's time for self-check-in. It's necessary for each of us to be able to separate between what our body feels like and what our emotions are. I always like to have my clients create two scales. From a scale of 1 to 10, 10 is the best you've ever felt, and 1 is the worst you've ever felt. So right now, go ahead and create two scales for yourself. Ask yourself, on a scale of 1 to 10, how is my body feeling right now? And on a scale of 1 to 10, how are my emotions right now? And you'll see that they're different. Just because your emotions are really high and your body might be low does not mean that you can't be in a good mood. Or vice versa, just because your emotions are really low and your body's feeling good doesn't mean that you can't accomplish those goals that you have today. So for today's episode, on a scale of 1 to 10, for my emotions, I'm probably feeling a 9. I'm really excited about today. And then for my body, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm feeling about a 7. I got some good rest, and so I'm feeling good. Once upon a time, there was an unfortunate poor man. His home was also very poor, a small and empty house where mice made their nests and spiders made their webs. The poor man thought that poverty was a reason for his misfortunes, his eternal destiny. But once the poor man met a wizard and complained to him about his poverty and miserable life, the wizard felt sorry for the poor man and gave him an unusual vase. The wizard said, "This is a magical vase that will save you from poverty." The poor man took the vase and wanted to sell it at first and spend the money on frivolous things. Besides, why would I need such a beautiful thing? But then he started admiring the vase and couldn't take it to the market. He brought the vase home, put it on the table, and started admiring it. "It's not right for such a beautiful thing to be empty," the poor man thought. So he picked some wildflowers and put them into the vase. It became even more beautiful. "Not good," the poor man thought, "that such a beautiful thing stands next to a spiderweb." So the poor man started cleaning his house from spiderwebs, sweeping out cockroaches and mice, cleaning the dust, washing the floor and walls, and even whitening the ceiling. And it became clear that his house wasn't poor, but rather warm and cozy. And the poor man wasn't a poor man anymore, but a hard-working host who had no time for the thoughts about misfortune. What's my role? Since the invention of the smartphone, it's been very difficult for people to compartmentalize between their work role and their home life persona. I've worked with many people who say that's a difficult struggle that they have, is separating the two things. But what many people don't realize is that there are so many ways and things we need to separate. Just because one particular thing is what we do in one situation doesn't mean that that's the particular role we should be playing at that time. So just as we know what the job description is for our particular work, we also need to know what the job description is for the many different roles we play. So let's look at some of these roles. Perhaps you are a spouse, so you want to ask yourself, what's the job description for that? If you're a parent, well, what's the job description? What are the expectations? As a friend, what is the job description or the expectations that you have? And so there are many layers and levels of a friendship, and so you want to really quantify that and measure that as well. But it doesn't also have to be the relationship or the relational roles we play. But for example, when you're driving a car, what is the expectation for a defensive driver? Or what, when we're walking down the street as a pedestrian and we're crossing the road, what is the job description? So my point of being that persnickety or that detail-oriented when it comes to figuring out your role is because if my job at work is to talk to, let's say, my staff, but some of them know me as a peer, as a friend, and so I'm trying to talk to them and trying to task them with something, and then they come back and they're talking to me as a friend, well, there are two roles that we're actually playing there at that time. And when one role is not primary, it causes confusion for the other person or even for yourself. And so it's vital that we have this awareness of what is the role I'm playing right now. We often think that we can multitask. And it's funny, sometimes I think I can too. But the reality is less than 2% of people can actually multitask. So if that statistic is true, why then do we multitask the many roles that we have and that we play in life? Because if we know that we can't really multitask, and I know you're probably thinking you're one of those 2%, and I'm sure you're not, but you never know. But if we can't multitask the actual behaviors we're engaging in, then once again, why do we think we can multitask the roles that we play? We truly can't. So that's why it's vital for you and for myself, is when we have to remind ourselves, what is my role right now and what I'm doing? For example, right now, I am a radio show host. So I have to ask myself, well, what are the job description of that? What are my expectations? And so I have to put the other roles that I may play in life, I have to put them aside and focus specifically on what the job description is of a radio host. As you are a listener, it's important for you to be mindful of, well, what is the role of a good listener? Perhaps you're driving in your car or you're at the gym. And so you have all those additional roles that you're playing. And so I really want you to be aware of this, that when we are engaged in some type of communication with someone, or when we are engaged in some type of behavior with someone, if we merge many roles together, we're not going to be successful in completing the task as well as we could. I'm sure many of you, including myself, have a struggling in one situation where maybe really annoyed with someone, and then we go into another situation and we haven't fully transitioned. Transitions are one of the most important things. So let's say I'm back at work and I've tasked one of my employees to do something and they didn't do it the way that I asked them. And so I missed a deadline. And so I come home and I'm really upset and I'm annoyed. And so then I take it out on my dog. I yell at my dog. And so in doing that, my role of the employer, well, when I leave, I'm no longer the employer. I am the dog owner. And so as a dog owner, there's no reason for me to be angry at my dog. My dog didn't do anything. And so when we have multiple roles and we don't successfully leave one role in one place, and then when we start the next one, if we don't separate the two, then we're going to bring in all of the previous emotional baggage of that previous situation, and we're going to bring it into the next environment. And that is not healthy. That is when we overreact. That is when we don't respond in a way that's probably really equal to what the situation warrants. So as you are doing multiple things, you have to ask yourself, well, what are the primary roles I'm playing right now? And if there are additional roles that really aren't necessary in that moment, well, then you need to leave them out because it's just going to cause more confusion for you. So like I said, transitions are very important. Transitions before you perhaps go into work, transitions when you come home, transitions when you are with your children, or transitions when you're with your spouse or your friends. You have to create that space within yourself to say, okay, what are my job descriptions for this next thing I'm going to do? What are my expectations? How do I want to be? So if you find that you're kind of annoyed or you're struggling with some type of emotional struggle, if you will, well, then you have to remind yourself that that struggle is attached to a different role. And so when you start this next thing, that struggle should not be a part of it because it's not part of that role. And that's why the transitional piece is so important. I really like to help my clients develop some type of transitional activities they can do. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm transitioning in my car on my commute ride home. Okay, that works. But if you can actually build it once you get home, build it into your schedule. Because when you're home, then you automatically are in a location which needs for you to be in a different role. And so that's why it's good to start out the new role, let's say it's at home, with doing a behavior that really puts you in that mindset. And so I have one client who likes to play video games. And that's great, a 10, 15 minute transition for video games. I have another one who likes to go home and take a shower. And so many of these people are able to successfully transition because they've created a little ritual that is healthy for them because it helps put them in the mindset of the next thing they need to do. So I really want you to be aware of that as well. What are some things that you can do as you transition to the major roles that you play? So the major roles would be something at your house. So that would probably be either a parent, maybe a sibling, maybe the homeowner. It could be many different versions of a role in the home, but that is something that you want to be aware of. And then when you go to work, that's a different role. So those are the two primary roles that we have to learn how to have some type of transition between the two, because those are the primary roles that we play. And then the smaller roles in those new environments are necessary to say, all right, as a coworker, this is what my expectation is. This is how I should act. As an employer, this is how I should act. As a friend, this is how I should act. And so when you can really understand with the specifics of those things and create those transitional times in between there, it's going to help you be a much more successful person. And you can be proactive in your responses as opposed to merging, which is essentially multitasking roles, and it comes out sideways. It doesn't come out as thoughtful or as responsible sometimes as it should. So I really want you to be aware of that right now as you're listening to this. Come up with the multiple roles that you're experiencing right now and that you're perhaps playing, and weed out the ones that don't serve you right now. If you find that you're experiencing some type of emotion that maybe isn't relevant for the role you're currently playing, well, then leave it there where it was before, because it doesn't serve you right now. And the best way to do that is to have this mindful awareness of what it is you're experiencing right now, and is it appropriate for the time and location and the specific role that you're playing. So it's an exciting thing when we're aware of, we have the opportunity to separate in between these things, because it helps us live a much more successful, productive life. So remember, if you can't multitask behaviors, because only less than 2% of people can do that, then why do we try and multitask the roles that we play? One last food for thought is, let's say you have multiple roles that you're experiencing, perhaps you have to play that, then you need to tell the person that you're talking to that right now I'm talking to you as a friend. Because when you set up the precedent of what the expectation is for the role you're playing, that then tells the other person, okay, well, James is going to talk to me as a friend. He's not going to talk to me as my boss. And then another time you will say, well, I will say to them, I'm going to speak with you as your boss. And so they know what that looks like, because of course they know what my demeanor is when I speak to them as a boss. So it's important for you to set the precedent when you're talking to someone who perhaps has multiple roles that you have with them. And it's going to help you have a more productive, proactive interaction with them, because they know what to expect. You both have the same understanding of what those job descriptions are per the roles you play. So definitely practice that today. Be mindful of everything you do, the different roles you play, the transitions that you build in between each role, and set the precedent for what the expectation is when you have to merge two of those roles. If you are experiencing emotions that aren't applicable to the current role you're in, well, then you probably didn't transition successfully. So on today's episode, we have a very exciting guest, Monica Sangrico, who is known as the Palm Beach Girl. Welcome.
Hello, James. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. So the Palm Beach Girl, tell me about that, just so my listeners know what that's about.
Palm Beach Girl is a women's clothing company that I started 12 years ago. We specialize in resort wear and everyday dresses. That it's attire that you wear on a daily basis, that you don't have to make a lot of effort, mm-hmm. and still look cute.
Nice. Okay. I remember I met you about 3.5 months ago, and I was blown away with your story when I first heard how you became Palm Beach Girl, and just the journey of how that, what all happened in your life that caused you to be who you are today. So not only are you a CEO, you're a designer, you're a mother, and you have so many different roles that you play. This is one of the things, the lessons we talked about today, is how do you kind of manage all of those primary roles? Because that has to be pretty difficult to be able to do all those and do it so well like you do.
Oh, well, thank you. You know what? I think that's really kind of the problem with all women nowadays, mm-hmm. that we're a mom, we're business, we're caretakers, we're everything. Sure. But basically for me, I try to, while my children are in school, mm-hmm. those are my I try to make those my business hours, as far as out on the field. And then when I pick them up from school, those are my office hours.
Okay.
So that's one way that I make it work.
Sense.
And then the other thing is, because I do work from home, And all of my workers, by the way, which I have seamstresses work for me, they also work from their homes. So it's called we consider a cottage industry. So I have very little overhead in as far as building wise.
Okay.
But anyway, so what I do is, you know, I just set my kids down and I let them know, even though I'm home, I am now working.
Sure. You set that precedent.
Exactly.
Sure.
I set that precedent and I set that boundary. And for the most part, they respect it and acknowledge it. And then as far as just, you know what, I made tons of mistakes. There's lots of, like, probably things that cross that shouldn't cross. But I'm me all the time, even with my client. So my clients get to see, like, the crazy cube inside of me. So, but I think that's what makes it, like, kind of relatable as far as, because I'm selling to the everyday woman. I'm selling to the everyday mom.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though you can, like I said, this is a dress that you put on and you can literally have no makeup on and people will be like, oh my God, you look so cute.
Wow.
And you're like, it's not me, it's the dress.
That's great.
I literally just got dressed this morning. But it's also easy in the sense that, you know, you don't have to worry about, like, matching stuff and, oh, does this look good with these pants or that type of thing. So it's a very, like, especially if you are a businesswoman and you are a mom, whether single, married, whatever it may be, you throw it on and go. So really that is one thing that I thought of to cater to or to maybe target was what is something that you feel good in that people like and will compliment you on. But like I said, it's just easy and let's go
easy
and we throw it on and that's it.
Wow, that makes sense. That really does. I mean, I think that's one thing that, you know, the people that I know in general, they are so busy. They don't necessarily have the time in their life to spend getting ready and all those things as well. So I think that makes sense.
Right. Or even something like I'll tell you when you're matching pants and tops or skirts and tops or whatever. Even like, I know this has happened to me, like, okay, oh, I'm gonna wear these adorable pants. And then you're like, my top is dirty.
Mm-hmm.
The top that goes with that is dirty. Or the top I wanted to wear with that. Whereas this, it's kind of like a one-stop, throw down and go.
Nice.
So
how did you become Palm Beach Girl? What was your journey?
My journey, you know what? I was an interpreter for the school board.
Okay.
And my
obviously journey, Spanish.
Correct.
Cuban, I'm sorry.
Correct. And I'm a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
And the school board is known to not pay very much money. So I was looking for something to make more income. And I've always been a shopper. So I was actually shopping for my daughter. And
how old was she at the time?
At the time, she was 4.
Okay.
And she, I ran into this girl, a high school girl, actually, who had this small business making ribbon belts. And I am Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt that it was a God thing as far as I just looked at these belts and I said, I can do this. Mind you, I do not sew.
But you can do it.
But I can do it, exactly. So these belts were like $40 or $50 each for my daughter. And at the time, she's 4. And I'm like, oh, I want like 4 or 5 of them. I don't just want one, you know. And I thought, I am not spending all this money on 4 belts for a 4-year-old that she's going to outgrow in 2 months. So anyway, I bought one. Or maybe I bought 2, actually, I think about it. Let her help keep one. And I cut it and looked and started doing the research and I'm like, saw how the belt was made, what was in the belt, what kind of D-rings were on the belt. Then I started researching everything and as luck would have it, there was a seamstress that worked at my alterations place who was a mom at my son's school and they were in the same kindergarten class together. So one day she was, you know, coming out of school, picking up her son, and I'm like, oh, excuse me, would you like to work for me?
Yeah.
So anyway, so she did, and she was my seamstress for, I would say 3 or 4 years at least. And then from there, I started hiring other seamstresses. And because of the fact that I am Cuban and I speak Spanish, being a seamstress or a tailor, not that it's exclusive to Hispanic people, but it's very prevalent in the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm.
So I started, I used that kind of as my niche or my way to find more people. And that's how I really started the business. I started getting more and more seamstresses. And then from girls, my friends, wearing the things and buying the things for me. Like I said, I started with belts. And then from belts, I went into little kids' clothes because I had a daughter. Little girl clothes. And then from Little Girl Clothes, I actually had a client who loved the fabrics and said, can you make women's dresses? And I said, I don't, but I can, being a hungry single mom. So
I will figure it out.
Exactly. So I went to her home and had, you know, did my first order with her. And my first order was a several thousand dollar order.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, I think I'm onto something here. And just, she actually gave me my first design. And from that first design, I now have 40 designs.
Oh my gosh. So, wow. That is amazing.
Yes. And over 100 prints and probably 40 solids.
Monica, that's incredible.
So, yeah. So that's how I became Palm Beach Girl, I would say. And then one other thing, I guess I will, just a little thing to add is, from, at first I started with private clientele only, but from my private clientele, wearing the things into stores and about town, and word of mouth got around, and then they would go into stores themselves. Actually, they kind of became sales reps in a sense for me, because they
walked
into
stores.
Exactly, exactly. They walked in and they said, you know, store owners would be like, oh, I like your dress, where'd you get that? And she's like, oh, my friend, Monica San Grigo, Palm Beach Girl. They would contact me and I'd see that. Or after that happened, I moved on to, I would actually approach stores myself. I would just walk in wearing one of my dresses, wait till a salesperson or somebody commented on the dress, which I would say 9 out of 10 times they did. And then I would say, by the way, I own this company, Palm Beach Girl.
That's perfect. FYI.
Exactly. This is why I'm here, browsing. And so, and then I would make setup appointments, and that's why I got into stores and then resorts, and it's just evolved from there.
That is an incredible story. What advice do you think you would give someone who is maybe going, a single mother, or just someone in general who maybe is down in the luck at one moment and they have a dream? I mean, what type of advice would you give someone like that?
I would definitely say to go for it, as scary as it may be.
It can be scary.
It's very scary, but you know what? You'll never know unless you try. And at least in my experience, believe me, I've had my ups and downs and my rough patches, but it has definitely been worth it. I learn something every single day. So there's something to be said about being able to make your own schedule and to work around your children, especially being a single mom. We were talking about single moms. And it's just, at the end of the day, it's great to work for someone else and there's nothing wrong with that and it's wonderful. And that in itself has its own merit. However, it's extremely, extremely rewarding to do something and have other people acknowledge or have other people appreciate. And it's something you created from nothing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think that's like I said before, that's so inspiring. Especially knowing, you know, maybe a little bit more of your backstory, but hearing how you went from being a single mother and just have created such almost an empire for yourself. And it sounds as if amazing things are happening in store for you, even in your future too. It sounds like you have some really good goals as well for your business.
Right. No, I definitely do. One thing that I would like is I would like Palm Beach Girl to be nationwide.
That's amazing.
I get very excited even just locally when I see somebody wearing one of my garments and I don't know them, I become a stalker.
I can see that.
And I'm creeping around the mall saying, like, where is this person going? By the way, did you know I made that? No. But I get so excited, even 12 years later, I get very, very excited to see someone wearing it, liking it, enjoying it, using it. Like, I don't know, there's just something to me very, 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 like, rewarding about that. I get, honestly, from when I first started in business to now, 12 years later, I am just as excited to see someone, especially someone that I don't know, because I obviously know that they got it from a different outlet. And I love it. I love it. And it actually gives me fuel to keep going, there's a need for this. There's a demand. People want it. And that makes me feel good.
But I think it also speaks a lot to just your personal desire and passion, because like you said, 12 years later, and you still have so much passion about it. You enjoy it. And it seems as if it doesn't get old. I mean, of course we have our down days, but I think for the most part, for you to still find that drive and for you to create all these different fashions and these different versions of your clothing, I think that really speaks to the person you are, but also just the gift that you have.
Well, thank you. You know what? It's I am definitely a people person, but it's funny because, again, when I was under time constraints or scheduled or told what to do, I did not respond to that very well. Sure. And I don't think that I enjoyed people as much as I enjoy people now. Yes, as you said, you have days that you're like, okay, I'm going to go back to bed and start over.
Sure.
But I, for the most part, I really, really enjoy my clientele. I have fun with them. And just kind of like what you were speaking about before in the earlier segment regarding the different roles, I definitely have different roles, but I also very much bring who I am to Palm Beach Girl.
Mm-hmm. And that's what makes it Palm Beach Girl, it sounds like.
I was just going to say, I think I agree with that, only because I think that I am the typical woman, whether it be a single mother or a mother with multiple children who's trying to juggle everything and do it halfway well.
Sure. Well, I would say you do it much better than halfway well, but you do it very well.
But thank you.
So I want to go back to what you had mentioned earlier, that sometimes it's, you may wake up some days and be like, oh, I just want to go back to bed and start my day over. What do you do to combat that?
One thing that I do is that I know that I am the one that's responsible in my family to make sure that the bills are paid, that the kids are taken care of, and also that I know the alternative, if I don't want to make myself get up and do my responsibilities, whether it be go see a client that may be a little difficult that day, or an account that I know is going to be a little overwhelming, or dealing with my seamstresses, I know the alternative is working a 9-to-5 job. And for me, a 9-to-5 job is not a good alternative because that doesn't fit my personality type. So I make myself get up and do it, because at the end of the day, there's nothing better than being able to make your own schedule, being able to create, being able to do what it is that you love to do.
I can really appreciate that, in the sense of, you know what's best for you. You know your personality type, you know the way in which you work the best. And obviously for you, that is working for yourself. But you're absolutely right. Success is only created with however much work you put into something. And no one else can make you be successful. And so I really wanted to thank you today for coming on the show and for kind of sharing your story and helping us understand who Palm Beach Girl is, but also just in general, your story of inspiration of how you've overcome a lot of adversity and you've become this wonderful, successful CEO, designer, mother, and many, many other things. So if listeners want to reach out to you, what would be the best way in which they could find you?
Right now, I am doing an overhaul on my website, but in the interim, you can find me on facebook.com/palmbeachgirl, and the beach is spelled B-C-H on Facebook, and that would probably be the best way. In January, you'll be able to find me on palmbeachgirl.com.
Excellent. Well, I am, maybe in January, I will have you back on the show and hear all the amazing things that have happened
for you. That would be wonderful. I would love it.
So thank you so much, Monica. I really appreciate you.
Thank you so much, James, for having me.
I also want to thank you, the listener, for joining with us today. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast so you will be informed of the weekly episodes. Also go to my website, jamesmillerlifeology.com, and you can see all the amazing things that are there for you. Have an amazing week.